that.
No, that's great. Okay. So, all right. So I got a request from more than one person to to do something different this morning. Not because we're not enjoying our studies in Nefesh HaChayim, but perhaps the time calls for something different. So this is a Torah from Likutei Maharan. Maybe you've learned it before, maybe you haven't. Maybe I've learned it before, maybe I haven't. This is in the second volume, as indicated by the fact that you see the word Tinyana on top. And this is Torah Samach Aleph, 61. I would say it's a medium-sized Torah, not particularly long. There are certain Torahs in Kutumar that carry on for pages and pages and pages. I would say this is not a particularly difficult piece in the Kutumara, in the sense that there is not much source material, which can often be very difficult to follow the Rebbe's train of logic, grabbing a tiny piece, a fraction of a pasuk here and a statement from the Arizal there, and trying to put them all together, unless one is an exceptional Talmud Chacham and has access to that range of material, you know, in a way where they don't have to look everything up and they don't have to ponder it in a slow and kind of digest it. Very difficult. This particular piece is very chashuv, very wonderful thing to have in your back pocket at all times, but especially when you're faced with, when we are faced with, chesronos, with difficulty, with a face-to-face encounter with the fact that the world is imperfect. And the truth is that a person who's a Baal Avoda, a person who's a sensitive Baal Avoda, a person who is finds themselves constantly thinking about divine ideas, on a certain level is bothered by the imperfection of the world, whether that imperfection is manifest in the loss of a single life, Kal v'chomer, the loss of many lives, or even, as the Gemara says, if a person reaches into their pocket and pulls out the coin, which is a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller than the one they were intending to pull out, this also is a big crisis of faith. For the bigger the tzaddik, the more the crisis of faith. Person opens up a sefer and they're trying to turn to a particular page and they don't open directly to that page. That's a crisis of faith. And so this is an important teaching which will stand the test of time for the Jewish people until the time when we no longer need it in a practical sense, but we can understand it as a philosophical idea. But right now this is a very, very practical idea, and so Hashem should help us that our hearts should be open to receive it in a way which is holy, and I should be able to say it over in a way which is holy. Holy meaning wholesome, in a way that we can really take it to heart. So Rabbi Nachman says, Hashem Yisbarach l'mala me'azman. Hashem Yisbarach, the master of the world, is beyond time. We know, we've spoken before about the fact that time is a construct, time is something which was created. Time is, as the Vilna Gaon pointed out, is the first of the Asara Ma'amaros Shenivra Behemes Ha'olam. Bereishis Bara Elokim means not only that in the beginning Hashem created, but Hashem created the beginning. Bereishis Bara Elokim. As Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, the trup, the way that the words are broken up in the Pasuk, implies that time itself is a created thing. And of course, the relationship between time and space has been documented over the last number of decades, more and more, that one cannot really fathom. I remember I once had a Rebbe who, in a very jarring type of way, started a sicha early on in my Shana Aleph by declaring to all of the young impressionable bachrim who were sitting in front of him that God does not exist. And we're like, this is what we came to yeshiva for. Mm-hmm. But she explained that to exist means to be within space and time. And Hashem created existence, but it does not exist in the classic sense because Hashem is beyond existence. To exist For example, if I say that, I want to speak about this particular shtender that I'm sitting at over here. So if I say that this shtender exists at 9:32 and however many seconds on this particular day in ER 5781. So if I were to say that that is true, this shtender exists at that particular time, but nowhere in the world, it does not exist in any particular place, we know that's not a possible statement. And if I say that it exists in a fortress building on Misgav Ladach Street in the old city of Jerusalem, in the Beis Medrash, precisely, you know, next to Yoni Zerman's seat, but at no time, and that's also a nonsensical statement. So time is something that exists, and existence is woven into time. It's part of the creation, and Hashem, in that sense, is l'mal me'azman. Hashem does not exist because He does not exist at any particular time. He created existence. And so, the next time you hear somebody talking about how Hashem doesn't exist, you can say, I agree. And I didn't realize you were such a profound theology. Hashem is l'mal me'azman. Kimova, as is brought, as we understand. V'zeh inyin hu be'emes davar nifla v'ne'elam, or this idea that Hashem is beyond time, is a davar ne'elam v'nifla ma'od. It is something which is completely wondrous, impossible to even express properly. Yef shar lahavin zos b'seichel anoshi. The human mind cannot grasp the infinite nature of Hashem being beyond time. He was, He is, and He will be all at the same time. Achdav, but you should know, she'ikr hazman hu rak machmas she'ein mevinim, dehainu machmas she'sichlenu katon. But you have to know, you have to understand that the reason that we experience man, the way in which we experience time, is as a result of the fact she'ein mevinim, that we don't understand. Dehainu machmas she'sichlenu katan. It's because our minds are very small. Kikol ma she'sichel gadol bi'yoser. Let's just read a little bit more, then I'll try to unpack this a little. Kikol ma she'sichel gadol bi'yoser. The more that a person's mind is developed, and we all see this to be true, sure, you can look back to when you were a child sitting in shul on Yom Kippur, it seems like hours and hours and hours. As you get older, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. At the age of 37, it's even shorter and shorter and shorter. At the age of, I can't imagine what it's like at the age of 70 or 80, because I haven't been there yet, but from what I gather, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Now, psychologists have also documented this and have suggested that this is because of the nature of the percentage of your life that is being taken up in this particular time period. So, for example, if you're 6 years old and you're sitting in shul for an entire day, the fraction of your life compared to the 6 years of your life is a much larger fraction, even though it's rather small. It is a more reasonable fraction to wrap your head around than if, for example, a single day or a bunch of hours when you're 37 years old, so this is 37 times 365, you know, a fraction of that is, it's manifoldly a different experience. However, Rabbi Nachman says something entirely different. He says, we see that this is true, that the more a person's seichel is developed, the more a person has developed their mind, hazman niktan v'nisbatel b'yoser, then time seems to dilate, seems to become shrink and become smaller. Ki b'chalom sh'azah seichel nistalik. Listen to the example. He says, for example, when a person is in a dream, and when a person is in a dream, then they enter into a state of dimyon, into a state of imagination. The imaginative faculties begin to work. But the seichel, the rational mind, ceases to operate. When a person is in a dream, so sometimes it will happen, I don't know if this ever happened to you, it certainly happened to me a number of times, When the mind is not active in its intellectual capacity, but only in its imaginative quality, a person can have a dream that seems like it goes on and it's so intricate, there's all these details, but then you wake up and you look at your watch and it's like 15 minutes, what? And how did I have such a deep, long, elaborate dream where I was jumping from point to point that felt kind of sequitur, didn't feel like I was jumping around, and I was able to experience this tremendous passage of time, but then a person wakes up and they realize that it's only been 15 minutes. Kasher nidma b'chalom, sha'avar v'holich kam v'kam azmanim, b'shamu etes ma'od, a person can go past much, much time in a very short amount of time. V'achar kach, k'shnis orim me'ashena, when you wake up from that dream afterwards, azay roim, sha'kol elu azmanim, v'ashivim shana, sha'avar b'chalom, huzman mu'at ma'od de'emes, that in truth, this 70 years that passed is something which was really only a 15-minute shluff. So this is a Pella. He says, why is that happening? Because something that seemed in the dream to be taking forever seemed to be taking a very long time. As soon as you're then rushed back into your intellectual capacity, that which seemed stretched and dilated over the course of a tremendous amount of time, when you're then looking at that again from the perspective of the intellect intact, it shrinks and it becomes just a moment. It was only 15 minutes. But the 70 years that a Jew goes through in this world, he experiences, or she experiences, as 70 years, mamash. The slow passage of time. But the truth is, an intellect which is greater than our intellect, that which appears in our life to be only 70 years, or to, seems to be a lengthy 70-year process, is actually something which happens very quickly. From the perspective of the Seichel HaGavoah, of the greater intellect of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's something which happens very quickly. This, by the way, is the secret of what we say. Chaver Rabbi Nachman doesn't say this explicitly, but this is what I've received from my teachers. This is the secret of what we say when we say Shir HaMalos B'Shuv HaShem HaShiv HaSzion Hayinu Kichol Mim. That when we come back to Eretz Yisrael after thousands of years, after those 70 years of exile the first time, and now after thousands of years, and we're still not at the end, but we can taste it a little bit. Because for us, that 2,000 years of exile, those horrific events of the 2,000 years of exile, in hindsight, now that we're sitting here in Yerushalayim Yerakodesh learning Torah, so on a certain level, it's not the perfect yichud yet of Kodesh Aruch and Shechinteh. We haven't perfectly brought together the two dodim from Shir HaShirim. But in the meantime, there's this sense of Hayinu Kecholnim. The entire Gullus was just a dream. And when we wake up from it, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the Shilas, all the questions, all of that long, drawn-out suffering of exile, we are able to wake up from the dream and realize, it was just a few moments. We wake up, and we realize that we just fell asleep. We took a little shluff, you know, on the steps of the Beis HaMikdash as we were going up Aliyah L'Regel, you know, and we took a little shluff, and then we woke up, and oh my gosh, what a terrible nightmare. In the same way that we can have a dream where 70 years elapse, but then we wake up from the dream and only 15 minutes passed. So to what appears to be 70 years to our seichel, who was seichel gavol amal yoser, to a higher intellect, rak revasha, rak she'in anu mevinim zos, but we don't understand this, we don't experience this, we don't feel this. Ki gam b'chalom, imay echad bo etzlinu b'shas chalom. Because even in the dream, and this is also, I'm sure this has happened to you, you've been in a dream where you're in a dream, and in the dream something's happening, and you wake up from the dream in the dream, and then you're still not really actually awake. A dream within a dream. And if a person would say to you in the first dream, you know, this is just a dream, you would say, what are you saying? This is not a dream. And then when you wake up from that dream, you would say, oh, I guess it really was a dream. But then someone would say to you, well, you know, you're still in a dream. And you would say, no, I'm not. And then you finally wake up from that dream. And there's a sense, we know that we are awake right now. All of us know that we're awake right now. But at the same time, there's a certain dreamlike quality to existence. Gullus is a nightmarish, dreamlike quality we're waiting to wake up from. And so if a person would come to you in the time of that dream, when you're deep in the dream, and they would say to you, do you know that this is not really 70 years, but this is just a blink of an eye, and that really the rest of your life is filled with sweetness and goodness? One of my friends who wrote to me in the aftermath of my diagnosis when I was telling people about it, asked how it was that I was not more despondent. So I said, you obviously don't know me very well. But more than that, I said, as far as my tally goes, I was about, I think, 35 at the time, 34, 35, I don't remember exactly. But I guess 34 probably. So I said to him, you know, by my tally, I've had 33 years of remarkably good health. This is a little bit of a blip in the system, but my expectation is to get better and then to have another, you know, 70 plus years of immaculate health. So that's my plan. And when a person has this perspective of this is just a 15 minute slot of a window into something much, much larger. I was thinking a lot about this Torah from Likutei Moharan Rosh Shabbos because there's a cynical part of me that when you have people, some people who are much greater than myself, and that's dafka, the reason why this Torah is so important, you sometimes will come across a person who is willing to make peace with a very difficult situation more quickly than another person. And there's a certain cynical part of you that wants to yell at that person and tell them that that's callous and that's inappropriate and it's fresh wounds. And there's a certain part of anybody who shares a little bit in the Beis Medrash of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev and has a little bit of chutzpah that wants to also shake their fist to Shemayim and say, this is it, this is what. However, when a person understands that it's not, oh, what's so beautiful for me and what's so helpful for me, this teaching, is that it's not that the classic answer of, oh, we just don't understand things, but tying it to this idea of Zman is something that we can all relate to. Because everybody knows, there's not a single person sitting here, I don't believe it for a second, you could try to tell me that it is, but it's not true. I'll deny it. There's not a single person sitting here who hasn't experienced some sort of suffering in their life, some sort of difficulty in their life, that at the time it felt utterly unbearable. Embarrassment, a pain, a loss. And then with the passage of time, time heals all wounds. And so there are some people who, and again, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't speak carefully to people who are not blessed with such a seichel. But there are people who have a seichel gavoa, who for them, the passage of a single minute, because of the nature of their seichel gavoa, what seems for you like this is too soon, for them, they're operating on a level where that seems like enough time to have processed this. For the Rabbonu Shalom, there's no difference between 70 years, 1,000 years, 6,000 years, or 1 second. And so couching the idea that we don't understand how Hashem works in this way of, well, we all see that time tends to heal our wounds. And so for a person who is beyond time, or a tzaddik who is tapped into this way of Hashem, which is beyond time, then we could take what Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson write in other places, which is the idea of borrowing simcha from the past or from the future. This is a big idea in Rabbi Nachman's writing. That even if a person finds himself incapable of smiling, incapable of dealing with a particular situation, so Rabbi Nachman said, in the same way that a person can go to the bank and take a loan so that they can open up a business, and from that business they'll make some money, some revenue, and they'll pay back the loan, so too a person is able to go into the bank of emotions and borrow simcha from a time in the future. A person who so desperately wants to get married and is feeling down after another not successful date can, says Rabbi Nachman, and must draw from the future, not only from the wedding, but from when they'll one day be standing at the wedding of their own children that they'll be zochet to have. At their own wedding and their descendants, a person who is suffering from pain of illness can draw strength from time previously or after when they're going to be better from healed from that illness. And that's because we have the ability through attaching to Hashem of going beyond time. It's not just a function of borrowing from the future we're seeing here in this teaching in Samach Aleph, but also an inyan of not being bound by the length of time which seems to be so difficult to process. If a person would come to you in the middle of the dream, bevadei lo hayamamin lo klal, you wouldn't believe him at all. You would think that days and years are passing. Even though it seems to us like we're passing through 70 years, and the time is going kind of slowly. It's going so fast. The whole thing is only Rav Hashah, and it could even be faster than that. The more a person goes higher and higher, it's even less impressive. Even that 15 minutes is only a second. It's even an infinitesimally smaller amount of time. And also higher and higher. The higher that a person goes, the more that time ceases to be something that a person needs to wait for to heal wounds. Ad asher yesh seichel gavoa kol kach, until we know that there is a seichel which is so high, shesham kol hazman kulo eino nechshav klal. By the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, there's such a seichel gavoa that time is not considered at all. Ki machmas gadol haseichel ma'od, because of the greatness of this seichel, kol hazman ein ve'efes l'gamrei, it is completely nothing. There is such a thing as a person whose mind is so vast and moves so quickly that they do not even experience time. Once a person breaks through that time barrier, they could be said to not be bound by the laws of existence. Val Kain, and therefore, let's just finish up, Val Kain, Mashiach, Sha'avar Lov Ma Sha'avar. Therefore, Mashiach Tzidkenu, who we know the Gemara says about Mashiach Tzidkenu, that Mashiach, from the time of the beginning of creation, from before creation even, but the Gemara in Pesachim says that the name of Mashiach, which means the essence, the soul of Mashiach, as it were, was created before creation. And like the Gemara says that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, and like the Gemara says that Mashiach sits amongst the lepers by the gates of Rome, Mashiach is filled with so many wounds that when he changes the bandages, he changes them only one at a time, lest he be called. He takes off one bandage and wraps it up, and then takes off another bandage and wraps it up, instead of taking all of them off, because lest he be called to come redeem the Jewish people. Mashiach sha'avar lav ma sha'avar, Mashiach goes through the suffering that Mashiach goes through. And that means both Mashiach and also the Nakuda of Mashiach in every Jew, like the Tzaddikim say, like the Morav HaShemesh and others say, that there's a Nakuda of Mashiach in every single Jew, and that we give that over to what will eventually be the Neshama of Mashiach, the Kol Mashlema of the soul of Mashiach. Miyom Briyas Olam V'Savol Masha Savol, from the time of the beginning of creation and even before that, and he was Savol Masha Savol. He suffered whatever he suffered. V'Acher Kol Zeh, but when it's all over, V'Sof Yomer Lo Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem will say to Mashiach, even though it seems like this was a very long and terrible suffering, B'ni Ata Ani Hayom Yilarticha. It is just today, Ki'ilu, like Mamash, you were just born. Even though, like the Gemara in Pesachim says, the name of Mashiach predates the creation of the world, and the world undergoes 6,000 years, and according to some traditions, many, many, many more thousands of years, many, many billions of years, and the world is evolving and suffering and being built and destroyed over and over again. And all of that is to come to this moment of Bini, you are my son. Ata Yomilad Ticha. Today is the day that you're finally... Now, what does that mean? It means that all of that is going to seem like a distant dream. And that today is the first day of existence. This is, presumably, this is a rather remarkable, inexplicable idea. Says Rabbi Nachman that in this time dilation, one could joke that Rabbi Nachman predated Einstein in the relativity theory of time, because he's about to say also about space. Sheyachos Oz, that unbelievable seichel that Mashiach is going to be granted, that Ruach Acheres, which is going to be enveloping the personality of Mashiach when the redemption comes, is going to be so great that time is going to collapse. Umachmas haflagas otza malas sichlo, shiyigdal az ma'od ma'od his seichel, which will be greater and greater each moment. Imkein, yekol azman sha'avar alav miyom b'riyas ha'olam ad oso azman kulo ein ve'efes mamash v'yamamish ki'ilu nolad hayom. It'll all be ki'ilu, he was born in this moment and everything that happened previously is yisbatel. Just to finish up, kiyisbatel kol azman v'sichlo she'gadol ma'od. So this is the inyan. When people say time heals all wounds, there is such a way, there is a derech of trying to connect to this idea that even before that time has come, and not to be obviously lo lidchok es hasha, not to push and to feel that you're able to emote properly and however that means for you and with whatever aid you need from relying on your friends and on your rebbeim and on your parents and of course on the Rabbono Shel Olam and talking it out. But at the same time, like we mentioned in the past, to have two pockets in the heart. One where you know that time heals all wounds and one where you know that there is such a thing as a seicha, which is lamala me'azman, where as a result of the greatness of this seicha, like a person... Like the example that Rabbi Nachman gave, when a person is in a dream and it seems like a lot of time is passing, but then you wake up from the dream and it's only been 15 minutes. There's such a thing as a person who feels the long stretch of being mitmoded, of trying to figure out how to manage a difficult situation which seems to be moving so slowly, and to recognize that there will come a time, and that's why this is such a chash of teaching to keep with you, because it's not just for this particular experience, but this is something which is part of the human condition. To always recognize that there will come a time when you'll be able to look back and to say, Hayinu kecholmen, this thing was like a dream. We see the same thing is true even in space. Shabal koach, just the last paragraph. Shabal koach, yachol la'avar makum gadol b'shal mu'etas. You could have one person, I mean, for example, you could take this to the level of, you could have a small ant or something, and it'll take him the whole morning Seder to get from that side of the base medrash to that side of the base medrash. And you could have another person, Joey, for example, who could take 5-6 steps and he's already across the other side of the base medrash. A bal koach gadol. A great bal koach can traverse tremendous amounts of space in a shamuetas in a very short amount of time. Nimtza she'etzel kol zeh hamakom hukata. For him, he experiences that amount of space as very small. It's relative to his size. Ve'etzel achalushe koach. But people who are very weak or very small, nechshev zeh hamakom gadol. This place that they need to traverse, this large parcel of land that they're trying to cross, seems just insurmountable. And it takes him a whole hour, many hours even, until he finally gets to that place. So, and the same thing is true above, in the place on high. The more that a person is strong, the more that a person is great. Hamakom niktan etzlo yoser. Same thing is true. There's a place where there's no space. Space doesn't exist either. But it's impossible to understand this matter with our own intellect. Just like in a dream, we can't understand the truth always. What is real? What isn't real? Can I jump over this building or can I not jump over this building as I'm doing in this dream? All that time, all that space in the dream, it's really just a landscape of our imagination. Gam anu lanu lahavin man. So Hashem should help us to be able to use this, as I mentioned in the beginning, in a healthy way, to recognize that there's a place and a time to use this in a strong way, and there's a place and a time to use this in a weak way in the back of your mind. But since some of the Chevra asked that today, instead of Nefesh HaChaim, we do something which is more addressing the particular mending that we're all undergoing. So Hashem should help us to be able to take these words to heart, and to be able to use them appropriately for ourselves and for our friends and anyone else who needs. Until the time comes when we'll be able to look backward and say, Hayinu kecholmim, and together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, to rejoice and to see the Geulah Shleimah.